Simon Peter, that's an interesting passage that goes on there. What do you think about that? Simon Peter and Jesus. You remember this is after the resurrection. Jesus is gone. And the fishermen, they don't know what to do. They've gone back to fishing. I mean, what are you going to do? They've reverted back to their occupations because Jesus is gone. And so they're out fishing and and Jesus comes and he appears on the beach. And he says, come. Now, I don't understand. They're fishing at night, apparently, because this is breakfast. How many are fishermen in here? Fishermen, fisherwomen. Do you fish at night? Don't understand that, but maybe fish are better at biting at night. Lucy says yes. Night, okay. All right, I'm learning something. So there they are, and they're fishing, and he says, come, bring some of what you've caught, and let's have breakfast. And they eat together. And this is important because a vision, an ethereal being, a non-complete person can't eat. And Jesus eats with them. This is him physically in the flesh. They have come together and they're eating. And after they are finishing their meal, Jesus turns to the big fisherman, Simon Peter. Cephas, do you love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. No sweat, God, I got it. Boy, breakfast was good. Simon Peter, do you love me? Yeah, Lord, I really do, you know. Feed my lambs. Okay, you got it, Lord. We got it. Simon Peter, do you love me? Finally, Simon Peter is fully attentive. Something is happening here, something that he's not at all. This is not just your normal after breakfast chit chat. And he's hurt because he said, yeah, he loves the Lord. And Simon Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus says to him, feed my sheep. Follow me. It's an important thing. He's stopping everything, all that's going on and everything, and giving them this edict, this commandment, this directive. Feed my sheep. Take care of those that I have been the shepherd for. The flock is in your hands now. Do you follow me, Brother Cephas? Do you understand what I'm about? And I think Simon was paying attention by then. Now, some scholars say that there were three reasons for asking the question were the same as, remember when Simon Peter said, Lord, I will never forsake you. And Jesus says, before the night is out, before the cock crows, you shall deny me three times. Do you remember that? They take him and he's prisoner and Simon says, no, I'm not with him. No, I'm not. Three times. And then the cock crows and Simon is bitterly, bitterly hurt. So some say that these are tied together. I don't know. It doesn't matter because it reiterates this important thing that Jesus is telling his followers. Feed the lambs, feed the sheep, feed the flock. And this is Valentine's Sunday. Melissa, is this Valentine's Sunday? What does that mean? Heart, she says. You can't see it, but she says heart. How many of you, how did they do that? What's the latest symbolic? Yeah, there we go. And Cupid. And love. And those candies that have those fun sayings, be mine, and all those cheesy statements. Remember those? And chocolate. How did chocolate get involved? I'm glad. Chocolate got involved with Easter bunnies at Easter, too. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing necessarily, but something to think about there, just to put in the backs of our mind. It muddies the waters, if you will, this love thing. Have you ever watched anything on television or on the internet or on TikTok or on Facebook? Seen any videos of any kind? Have you looked at any advertising billboards or anything ever, 90% of the time, sex will be a part of how they're selling, promoting, trying to get your attention, and trying to make a sale. Is that love? Is that what that's about? You know where I'm going with this. In the Greek, there are six different types of love. I'm not going to go over them. One of them is that one that we were talking about, that sex, that's eros, root of the word erotica. And sex, sensuality, physical. But Jesus is not using those words when he talks to Simon Peter. Simon Peter, do you love me? And the first time he asks him, filial love, brotherly love. Do you love me like a brother? And the second time he asks him, Simon Peter, do you love me? He loves me like agapeo, agape, like God loves humanity. Simon Peter, do you love me like God loves humanity? And again, Simon Peter just hears the word love, translate there, you know. Sure. And the third time he goes back to brotherly. Do you love me like a brother? So there's different words being used here, and I think that's important for us because we're in a society where love is something you fall into and fall out of. Did you notice the sermon title? Did you think it was a typo? Falling and love? I bet Pastor Peter misspelled it. It was supposed to be falling in love. I didn't make a mistake. That's a first for me. Falling and love. Some people say you fall in love. Some people say you fall out of love. How can that be with the love we're talking about that is God's love of us? You see, it gets lost. And so when we say love one another, we could fall in and fall out of that. No. Well, that's not where Jesus is coming from, and that's not what he's talking about. When it's the commandment, the great commandment, the new commandment that Jesus gives to all of his disciples, a new commandment I give you to love one another as I have loved you. How many of you have memorized the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament? I've memorized them and forgotten them several times. That's just me. Memorization is not my thing. But Jesus gives us this new commandment to love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. And it is not this eros. It is not any of the other kinds of love. It's not the one that advertisers use. It is the love of brother to brother, God to people. And God does not fall out of love with us. Amen? God does not fall out of love with us. Amen? An amazing thing. I love my siblings. Sometimes I don't like them. Sometimes I ignore them and avoid them. But I still love them. It's a decision that we make. And it is one that comes out of an adult decision. Most people, when they grow up, they become adults. I know some people that have grown up and have never become grown-ups. They're still infants. And you know who I'm talking about, those who haven't got past that sense of egocentrism, centered so much on themselves they can't see beyond that, or having temper tantrums all the time. Not judging, just saying there's some who haven't got to the point of saying, as an adult, we have to put away childish things. And that can happen with any people at any age. I'm kind of curious where I am in my sermon. I've kind of wandered here. The Spirit is with me this morning. Be careful, that's been 3 weeks. I could give you three sermons. Have you ever been driving in a car? This is where it always gets me. You're driving somewhere, and somebody does something that's just, I won't say anything more there. You know what I'm talking about. But they do that. And I love the videos. You can go on YouTube now and search for people doing dumb driving things. And they are dumb. They are. And they can make you angry. They can drive you nuts. They can just really get to you. Irresponsible, inconceivable, inconsiderate, distracted, all of those different things. And you see all those. And I'm terrible because I'm a hypercritic, especially when I'm driving. I'm a perfect driver. Everyone else is wrong. But I am hypercritical, and I have found in myself that I need to face that and think about that. One day I was driving, and a little old man in a hat was driving along, and I don't even remember what he did, but I remember thinking that he was not a good driver. And then it clicked in my head that my dad had become a little old man in a hat. And I thought, what if that was Dad? And I had to just smile. And I changed my reaction and thought, well, we'll watch out for this fella. He's still getting around. God bless his heart. He's still doing it. He's still trying. We can take care of him. So you see something happening with somebody else. Can you envision a beloved one as that person? Maybe it's your mama, your dear mama, or your papa, or whoever you want to do that. That's one of the ways that I work around to find out how I can find a way to love others when sometimes they don't seem very lovable. Because that's what we're called to do, is about loving despite. So envisioning everyone as a beloved one of mine helps me be about that. And that's a love that you don't fall out of. You make that decision to be there. I have my Valentine here. I'm not sure she's aware I'm talking about her right at the moment, but she is very much aware of that this Sunday, that day is coming, and she's very excited about it because it has hearts and pink, and I don't know if she knows anything about Cupids, but the Valentine's is important. And there are days that she drives me nuts. It's okay, because I love her anyway. Think about that, and think about the people in the world around us. It's a decision we make. It's a decision God has made to us and about us. It is the commandment that has come to us, Simon Peter, and Jesus says, feed my sheep. Love one another. Take care of one another. So it's going to be Valentine's coming up. And on Valentine's Day, I hope that you have a wonderful Valentine's Day. I hope you give thanks. I hope you give thanks for being loved. And if you've ever been smitten, for having been smitten. And if that smitten changed, for knowing that that was smitten and it wasn't love, it was physical. And you can still love someone even if that goes away. But give thanks on Valentine's Day also that we are the Lord's Valentine. We are beloved of Him. And give thanks. Give thanks that love will never end. We can do a lot of things, and we can reject and move away from God, but God doesn't move away from us. Love one another as God loves us. Make a decision. Even though we are a flawed people amongst a flawed people, make that decision to be people of love. You see, that's how they will know that we are Christians, by our love. Amen?